Hi, actually. I'm Kathy Green.
I'm Steve Lucas.
And I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on And This One's Introduced By on community radio station 3CR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and This One's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and This One's Introduced By...
Has it really been 40 years since the release of the second album by X, At Home With You? Steve Lucas, guitar and vocals, the late, great Ian Ryland, bass, Kathy Green on drums, and the Horns of Contempt, brass section, convened to Melbourne's Richmond Recorders with producer Lobby Lloyd and engineer Tony Cohen to conjure musical gold. The perfect lineup came together to produce an album with brutal energy and delicate songcraft. Sometimes the universe aligns to create an artistic vision and the artists wonder how it happened. Synchronicity plays its part in bringing people and elements together to give birth to their collective vision. So here we are in 2025 to celebrate this milestone, 4 decades since At Home With You, released on Max's record label, Major Records. The tapes have been remastered for a strictly limited release on vinyl that aficionados will snap up. There is also a special 40-year anniversary show at Shock Kickers on Friday the 1st of August that you should attend. Kathy Green and Steve Lucas join Dr. Gonzo to present At Home With You by X on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio 3CR.
In the early days, it was weird because we did a gig at the Bondi Lifesaver to, you know, maybe 4 punks and 40 Maoris. And then the next gig we did was at the Paris Theatre with Cole Chisel and Rose Tattoo. So it was like sublime to ridiculous.
I knew of X before I met them. I knew the Aspirations album. And, you know, we would dance our asses. That was the album we put on before we went out, you know, because it just pump it up. Get your drinks and, you know, let's go and just dance to that. And then I was up in Sydney one time and Mark Seymour was there, a friend of mine, and he said, oh, X are playing at the Strawberry Hills. Do you want to come along? I was like, yeah. So I came along and I stood up the back of the room and I call it the shiver of destiny because as the music came to me, I just got this shiver going up my down my spine and I went, I'm going to play with these guys. And it was like a mess. Didn't know I was going to, didn't know how it had happened, but I just knew it.
Yeah.
And it was just like this oneness feeling. It was incredible. But everyone was probably feeling that. They just didn't have that, I'm going to play with them, message, which was scary. It was not long after that, actually.
Really?
And I was working at Richmond Recorders. Oh. And I was supposed to be answering the phones, but I was literally in the other room where the first Fairlight ever was, just mucking around on things in there, and then my bosses would come and go, Kath, there's a phone call for you. Oh, sorry about that. Can you make us a coffee? I'll have one. Anyway, got this phone call from Neil Bradbury, who was the guy that put out Aspirations and stuff, I think, on White Label Records, didn't he?
No.
Oh, well, he had a whole pile of them. He gave me one. Anyway, he goes, oh, X are coming down to play. I'm like, great. He goes, but their drummer's not coming, Kefir. I was like, oh, damn. He goes, so I've told them you'll play. And I don't know who called who about it, but I went, oh, no, I can't. And he goes, oh, but we've already told them you will. And I was like, oh, I guess I have to. You know, I just didn't come from that straight rock and roll, you know, the straight background, although I could play pretty hard, you know, but I just didn't know that. Well, I was more like, we played bent music, like really fast. I was really intricate.
Avant-garde.
I came from jazz, from classical, you know, like everything. But, my drumming style was more avant-garde.
Because it is the 40th anniversary of At Home With You, as we now
know. It feels like 80 years, not 40. It's amazing it's only 40 years.
Sometimes it feels like 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe it's 40 years and I can't believe it's only 40 years, you know, both. Yeah.
Well, a lot of these songs we wrote up in Sydney pre-Kathy, so it was BC. The feel is the feel because basically we were standing around in Ian's lounge room that was also our rehearsal room, and then saying, well, she used to say to Catherine a lot, to you know, just play a feel, just play a feel. And so, you know, he just got, yeah. And then Ian would go, or whatever came into his head, and then I'd have to go, oh, I can stick a chord in there, you know. And then, you know, because we were at Ian's place and we'd been talking a lot of shit for a good hour and a half, the lyrics are basically about all the bullshit we're talking about, you know. Yeah, don't talk to me because I'll just ignore you. It was kind of living the moment, stream of consciousness, stuff. This is The Feel by X.
The Feel.
The Feel. TV Glue, again, it was just like Ian sort of just bum, 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 and Steve playing, and it's like, and I'd do something and then go, no, you can't do that. And I'd say, no, you can't do that. And, and so I just got further and further up the neck until I think the riff was actually based on, you know, Won't Get Fooled Again, that synthing, that I sort of based it on that. And then he was, that's the one, you know. Then, you know, like sort of did that for about 5 minutes and thought, well, we've got to do something more than this. And it was just boom, dropped to the E, and then Ian sort of ad-libbed something, which then became the lyrics. But, yeah, Jack came in and double-tracked trumpet on it for the session, which was interesting.
This is TV Glue.
can't talk much anymore. And it's such a bore. We don't talk much anymore.
And I've got a small story about moving on.
Have you?
A touring one.
Oh, yeah.
But not a written, not that I wrote the song. But we were on tour and I think we were heading out to Seven Hills to play a show and in Sydney. And, of course, because it's so far out, we didn't go out to do a sound check. And also I'd hit my head the night before or had a bad hangover or concussion. Anyway, felt like I had concussion. I was not well. Mm. Anyway, we managed to get there. And me lying on the bus, bottom of the floor. Got out there and then Daz, who was our stage roadie and everything person, and he'd set up all the backfill, the fallback. Anyway, we got there and he's like, oh, he had this cheeky look on his eye and everything, and I'm sort of ignoring everyone because I'm not well, but let's do it. And there was quite a good crowd there. I was looking forward to it. It wasn't like I didn't want to be there. But I get up on stage and Daz is looking at me with these eyes, and the first song was so we could set up the sound. So we started with Moving On, and it's bass, drum and snare, and then it's, everything falls into place really good for a front of house guy that wants to set the sound up. And anyway, so I hit the bass drum the first two notes, and behind me was like a curtain, but behind the curtain was this massive speaker I didn't know about. And I hit the bass drum and my hair flew forward. I nearly fell off the seat. Daz is standing beside stage with the look of glee and his thumbs up, and I'm just going in between the beats. I'm going, cut it, cut it, with my drumstick across my. He's going, what? His little face turned like this. I said, just cut it. I couldn't sit up on my stool and have that. Anyway, it was hilarious. I don't know if
you. He loved. He thought he's just giving you the best drum monitors.
Yeah,
in the world.
That was like he was so excited because it was the loudest, biggest sound.
It was,
and
huge.
I could not take it.
PA.
Yeah, and you couldn't see it behind the curtain. So, but when your hair flies forward, with a bass drum beat.
Yeah, that's packing a punch. Did you know Paul Kelly wanted to cover that song at one stage?
No.
But he thought Ian wrote it, so he went and asked Ian, can I cover Moving On? And he said, oh, that's the first song Steve ever wrote. I don't think he'd want anyone else to do it.
Here's Moving On.
We'll be right back.
Oh, Halfway Around the World.
One of my faves.
Yeah, that's another Ian Lounge Room rehearsal song. See, a lot of these songs are just really based around us talking about people that we knew or wanted to bonk or whatever. Let me know. You know. You say that you love me. Anyway, get that. That's one of my favourite songs.
We did laugh a lot with those lyrics too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that
it's always sort of cheeky and funny. Yeah. And
now we'll get really clever. You say that you care, but you don't love me. And then Ian and I would sing for the last verse. I'd sing one and he'd sing the other. So it was just blah, 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 blah.
And then it was done.
Yeah. It was fun. That was just the best song to play.
Yeah.
It was. Because a lot of it's so intense, and you get that and think, oh, I can breathe. This is good. This is good.
There may be a moment to see that coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Steve and I, but that's a secret.
You never know.
You never know.
X is the unknown factor.
Hi, I'm Kathy Green, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces tracks from their album here on 3CR.
Degenerate Boy was in the X set, like back even when Ian Cray was still alive, so that's been around forever.
I remember when we played it in Tasmania to four people that weren't invited to the local wedding that we were playing in the town of.
To kill me?
And the guys, yeah, they wanted to kill Ian and Steve because after
took it personally, did they?
Yeah, what was that mountain? Queenstown.
Yeah,
and they came up after we'd finished the show, and Steve and Ian wasn't well, so he'd slipped back to the hotel room, and Steve was out the back, and I'd come out the front to talk to our house guy, and this guy comes up, are any of the band members here? And little John goes, yeah, here's Kathy. He goes, any of the blokes? And I went, I'll be back. And just raced to the back and said, Steve, out the window, into the hotel.
Like,
and we had the cupboard up against it.
The thing was.
But he was saying.
It started before that.
Yeah.
Like they're in the audience, like some big mountain woman goes, I'm going to fuck that lead singer. And it's like, and so I actually was getting so much hate that I moved my microphone behind the speaker column because I just didn't want anyone to lob a bottle at me. And the stage guy said, look, we've got it all planned for you. You run off the stage, through the kitchen, out the window, your room's
right
across
there.
The car park. It's unlocked and there's a bottle of vodka and a bottle of scotch
That's
in there.
That's right.
Just go straight there, do not stop, and don't turn the lights on.
Yeah.
And that's literally what I did.
But when
I could hear them driving around the car park, where's that fucking lead singer? I'm gonna fuck him. I'm gonna kill him.
Because when Steve was singing, this is why, one of the reasons why, when he was singing Degenerate Boy,
right.
The guy, one of the biggest guys, or it could have even been that one, what did you fucking call me? And Steve's like, oh, it's just the song, you know. They just took offence to everything. Oh, I think everything.
As if you just wrote it. There for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What'd you call me? Degenerate boy. Oh, no, it's about us.
It's the only time I've ever really felt scared because their football field was gravel. There was no grass.
So was the golf course. We went to play golf, Ian and I, just because it was gravel. It was an open cut copper mine, so there was no.
All the smelting had killed off everything. It was like. Yeah. Being on the moon.
And there was a wedding on. So we had the people that weren't invited to the wedding. Yeah. They were the outcasts of the town. We had fun doing the film clip for that, though.
That was a lot of fun.
That was hilarious.
But that was before Queenstown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
I got no money.
All Over Now, again, that's an interesting one because actually it was a bass player from the XL Capris who came round to Ian's place and said, oh, look what I've done. Listen to this. Because what he'd done is he had an old reel-to-reel and a Johnny O'Keefe song. And when you played it backwards, it went da 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 da. And so we thought, oh, that sounds great. So we basically wrote the song based on Johnny O'Keefe's song, which I can't remember the name of, Backwards. Hi, I'm Steve Lucas, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces the tracks, if they remember, from their album here on 3CR. And at home with you, you know about this one.
Not really.
We couldn't have written it without you.
No. I think that was another one of my quirky sort of beat, playing a beat thing, yeah. And we were playing it, I think it was called, it was the Heritage, or the Spot they called it then. That was the Heritage, wasn't it?
No, the Spot was owned by the guy that had the Heritage.
That's right. That's the connection. Yeah. Anyway, we were out there rehearsing and basically we were just getting jugs of beer and putting three straws in them and playing this game where you'd pinch off – whoever had to stop sipping could pinch off the others. No. Anyway, whatever the game was.
Because you're always really drunk by the time we finished the game.
Really drunk. Anyway, out of that – rehearsal time, and this is when I sort of first was getting to know the guys and playing up in Sydney, and we rehearsed and I'd gone up to stay, and Yeah, I think I just started this beat, the beat that it starts with, basically. And, of course, Ian and Steve are always like, they'll jump on anything, you know, and if it sounds fun.
Yeah.
And it was just, I think it was a bit of an ode to me. Home with you. Yeah. They were, you know, I made it feel like home. There were quite a few other ditties that we came up with that didn't fully, you know, we have got an overdraft. In dues. Those ones.
I put all on the line for you.
So they were sort of, they were in love with me and the that beginning gorgeous phase, you know.
Yes.
And I with them. And, we just couldn't get enough of playing. Well, yeah, we didn't ever rehearse a lot after that, those initial times.
Mm.
We, you know, X wasn't sort of a rehearse band, but sort of new songs came about like that at those times. So,
yeah.
But they had so much
happy
backlog.
Accidents. I like to
And
You think it was a spot. I thought it was the Annandale Hotel, but I just remember it was definitely in a bar.
Yeah.
And it was daytime.
Yeah. We were rehearsing there. Yeah. That's why I think it was.
Yeah. I thought it might have been a sound check. But anyway.
Yeah. It was pretty quick.
Those things. And then we played it. They're hard to remember because they're so spontaneous that they just. Like they'd write themselves in like 5 minutes.
So here's At Home With You.
Being in a band, it's hard work. It's like a marriage and a business, and it has all the foibles and all the rewards of a successful or an unsuccessful version of it, or both simultaneously. Going crazy.
I just said to myself, I don't think that I can.
Oxford Street, Nick, that's predominantly an Ian song, written about the Oxford Street lockup. And the police came around and told us to shut up and turn the noise down. And as they walked away, Ian said something that they overheard, so they came back and arrested him. And then Ian Crave, very drunk, jumped into his car and drove up to the Balmain lockup. And they, what are you cunts done with my mate? And they go, this. And they arrested him and put him in jail. And then someone came back and said, oh, Ian's in jail now too. And I was like, oh, I'll go up. And so I went up and...
A bit more diplomatic.
Very diplomatic. I understand you have two of my friends locked up. What are the charges? And they go, oh, blah, 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 blah. They'll be out in the morning. And I'm like, okay, are they all right?
Have they got pillows?
Yeah. Can I see them? No, you can't see them. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. Can I bail them out? And they said, well, actually, yes. And so then Lynn and I went around to Peter Cotonch, who played with the XL Priest, and also a bit of time with X. Had to borrow the bail money off him to go back and let him out. And then they went back and went to court the next day. And any other band, it would have been, oh, you know, like, musicians arrested and drunk and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no one gave a shit. It was just X. Well, what do you expect? You know? Oh, and here is Oxford Street Nick. Thanks, Mum.
It's okay, son.
There's this little one, Don't Cry No Tears. This was in one of the downtimes at Richmond Quarter while we're waiting for Tony Cohen or someone. And rather than pay for time and not use it, Kathy suggested that I play the nice song that I that I had. And I go, oh, I can't do that unless it's a 12.
I hummed a few bars.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, oh. And I go, oh, no, I need a 12-string guitar for that. And then someone goes, I got a 12-string guitar. And I was like, oh. All right, and so I went in and did it, and then I did the lead over the top of it, and then maybe we were waiting for the horns to come in.
To come and put on the other stuff, because Jeremy was there.
Because he walked in and said, oh, can I put French horn on that? And I'm like, please, this is just me by myself. I already feel naked, you know, so someone else would be great. And then he did that.
But we put that into the set with the whole band as well.
Later we did,
Just not on the album, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Because that, well... I know Kathy had heard the demo that I did of it.
Love it. But I still love it.
I wrote that to Ian Cray basically after he died. I had this conversation with him, and the back and forth between the two of us. And I hadn't really thought to record it at all because it was just a personal exchange. But yeah, thanks to Kath, it came out. And she didn't even say, and can I play drums on it? You know, she said, no, just do it. And so yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, it's a nice little ditty.
Here is.
Oh, and here is Don't Cry No Tears. The next song, she's gone. This was being introduced to X just as Steve was leaving and Kathy was coming in, and Kathy did something amazing with the kick and that just drove Ian insane. And it's a power song, yeah. But it's very Ian. This one, which the very very Ian ones, the ones he tends to sing, and It was nice.
So I ride the bass with my bass drums, and then I play on top with the sometimes, and certainly in this song. So he was like, whoa.
Yeah, how can you do that with your foot while you're doing that with your hands with him? You know, like this. And of course we have the horns.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Jack does the do re mi thing?
Yeah,
he was just waiting for the tape to roll on to the next part where he came in to have a W's trumpet and was just warming up playing do re mi on the scales. But it was being recorded, and we thought, oh, that sounds hysterical, let's leave it in.
Yeah.
See, that was the thing with Lobby when we were tracking that album, and I'd not really worked in a studio in that sort of way before. Yeah. And so we were just sort of like warming up. I'm still getting to know some of the newer songs because we've got the set together, you know, and I don't was quite new. But we go through it and I'll just be like this, oh, you know, like, you know, when you just get that incredible feeling of oneness, did it, it's amazing. And go, oh, bugger, we were just doing a tryout, you know, getting the sounds right. Yeah. Wish someone had been recording it.
Yeah.
And Lobby's in the, you know, behind the glass going, thumbs up.
Yeah,
he recorded everything, everything. Everything.
Yeah, so just about everything was like a first
and
tape.
You just, a lot of all those songs, apart from doing some overdubs and stuff, were certainly for the rhythm section were first takes. And
and the guitars.
And the guitars, but the vocals we might have put on later.
Yeah, we
whatever.
Always did them later.
And, yeah, they were just like this incredibly energy-driven, just beautiful feeling, you know, like you'd just be buzzing going, and then Lobby would be there. And same with when we ever cut anything, Steve and I were talking about it on the way over here. You know, most people with the 2-inch tape, and they're going backwards and forwards and find this spot where they're going to splice it, and Lobby would go, rup, 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 and then pull out the tape and splice it, and you're all going, no! And he's done it.
What have you
he's
done?
He's spliced it back together. He's got it back on in the track, and you're listening to it going, oh, thank God. You know, he just had this ear, this energy. Like if you wanted to add another
he was stoned
you know,
out
verse
his
in there.
Or, head. I
mean, yeah.
No. Good on
in
you.
In the zone or something.
always
like
in the
a
zone.
Big hash joint or whatever, you know.
Just amazing work with Lobby.
And he was the funniest person.
So I mean, funny.
He just had to look at you and you'd laugh hysterically, you know.
Yeah, cheeky.
He was so funny.
But so smart too, you know. Like that wasn't just a random stone person doing that. He was always on. He was always looking at the latest technology. Yeah. Every time he'd go out to his place in the Dandenongs, you know, and his beautiful wife Deb and the kids and everything, and he'd just go, come over here, Kath, you know, and check this out. And he'd just show me all the latest, you know, digital stuff and how it works, and I'd blow my mind with you know, the new stuff. Like Lob always, you know, he was always on the front of the new bands in town. He was working with young kids. His energy was boundless.
He could talk about anything.
Yeah.
He was like an encyclopedia.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Insane knowledge and experience and just so extreme in his habits.
He'd hate it when I'd come to the meeting. He'd know he'd try and get these meetings going because he managed us for a while, and he'd get these meetings going and get Steve and Ian there. Oh, is Kathy coming? Is Kath coming? I was like, yeah. Because Lob, when he'd do business, he'd do this whole like round the bush, and sort of like try and kerfuffle, you know, like just, and I'd just go clunk and go straight to the middle of the bush, you know, and just like Lob, you know, and he was like, cat's coming. But he loved me for it too.
Yeah.
And I loved him for his bush beating. But yeah, classic.
Oh.
we went and did the photo, and then I went to my then wife's 21st birthday and fell off a step and broke my arm. And the ironically, the arm that you can't see on the at home with you the cover is the arm that I broke later that evening. And I've wow. always found that really oh. bizarre. Why was I not, you know, what kind of message is this? Yeah. You know, like it's too late. I've already broken my arm. Yeah. I had the plaster up to here and I kept falling asleep in the bath and then I had to get it recast. And then we did a gig at the Strawberry Hills and I just thought, fuck it, and I cut it off because little John was trying to play guitar. It was extreme passion. I couldn't bear hearing it not done right. It's just a broken arm. Left arm too. So every
there
movement.
Was another time when you did something to your, probably broke your right arm, and I think Speedy then stood behind you and did the strumming, or Little John.
I think that was when I was fixing something. I put my hand down on the soldering iron.
Steve wasn't. Yeah. He's always keeping us amused with his.
I had the front teeth knocked out. The thing over there, flapping. I have to, between songs, pack ice in my mouth.
Wasn't that a rock against work at the hometown? And this crowd surged forward. And Ian and Steve went in. They used to protect me and put their guitars like an X in front of me and pushed the crowd back. But someone, one of them got through.
Yeah, they with fell the forward and grabbed the microphone stand, and the microphone stand just went between everything. Just, oh, shit. Like, and my teeth was going. Floof, floof, floof,
like. But you couldn't breathe. Like, we had to get in and out of the window. You couldn't get through the crowd, you know, to get in or out. The Hopetown was unbelievable. And the whole, when we did the final Rock Against Work Ian and I were staying at Paul Kelly's place around the corner, and we kind of woke up hungover and, better get down to the, who does a gig in the afternoon, you know. I was like, anyway, complain. We get round the corner and all the four corners were seething with people, you know, inside was heaving. It was like, and we're like, wow. And Ian just goes running, you know, and I've got to get in somehow and get in the window. And
I was already there.
So, mate, you were already there, of course.
I was the first.
Yeah. That was fun there. So at home with you. So now there's a release.
Just a limited reissue. But, we're just going to celebrate the 40th anniversary with some vinyl. Had it remastered.
Who's the American company?
Well, it's a combination between Dirt Cult and Green Noise.
Yeah. Okay.
They're supposed to be putting it out this year over in the States as well. But yeah, here we're doing it with David Lang through Magnetic South, I think. Well, yeah, I've heard the masters and it sounds good because it is specifically for vinyl.
Well, I've got something to say. And that is that my new band are fortunate enough to be supporting the X Show
at one of the shows in the family way
on the south side, and really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
we call it Little Gem. Yeah. And yes, I had to bribe Steve to get that support. You got to be in the know.
Can I have my band playing? Yeah, sure.
Oh no, you said, oh, that'll be weird. Because you'll be there and people will expect you to play.
Well,
and
there
I
is
said,
that.
And I said, but I will be playing.
Yeah.
But in another band.
Yeah.
I do get that. Yeah. But I did have to bribe you in other ways. And that is to be announced.
With X, you just never know from one day to the next what could happen.
Because that's that whole X means never having to say goodbye.
Yes. So anyway, I think that wraps it up, doesn't it, really?
the troops show us out the door. Singing a song. Keep your head down on a tourist bus. It's just guerrillas having fun.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Kathy Green.
I'm Steve Lucas, so please support Community Radio 3CR and get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au, not 3CRAWGOR.